Today on episode number 345 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we've got some great resources to help you grow your audience, as well as finding guests for shows. We have an interview with a couple who say podcasting helped save their marriage, and I want to get serious about the podcasting patent issue, because it's time to take some action. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005 and bringing my 20 plus years of training skills to the microphone, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is the original podcast about podcasting, and this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to recording to production to promotion and all points in between, because there is one place on the internet, one place that has everything you need if you want to start a podcast, and that is schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to connect with me, I would love to hear your thoughts, get you on the show. It's super easy. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. My voicemail is 888-563-3228, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. Or if you go out to our website, there's a leave voicemail button on the left-hand side as we speak on the website there. And lastly, you can always leave a comment out at our website, which is schoolofpodcasting.com. And I'm going to jump into this whole thing about the patent trolls. I talked about this a couple episodes ago, and I said, you know, basically Adam Carolla and a couple other big podcasters were getting sued. And I said, you know, it's kind of going to end up in court. Maybe we'll have to see what we can do. But really, at that point, there was nothing that we could do, kind of out of our hands. Well, now there is something you can do, and as much as I'm kind of a, sarcastic, fun-loving kind of guy, this is something I'm really serious about. So if I can kind of have your attention, here's some things about this. And what's going on is basically somebody is saying, I own a patent, for lack of a better phrase, to podcasting. And he's suing these people. He's suing the big podcasters. And as little podcasters, we're kind of like, well, as long as they're not coming after us, well, they're going after more and more and more people. And we affectionately refer to them as patent trolls because they didn't really design anything. They just go after a patent and say they design stuff and things like that. So here's the fun thing. In 2011, patent trolls directly cost companies at least $29 billion. The damage to the economy as a whole has been estimated at close to $100 billion a year. Now, the reason for this is because companies have to basically go to court to protect themselves. They're like, wait a minute, hold on. I didn't infringe on your patent. And it's amazing that these trolls take people to court and they only win 9.2% of the time. And the one that's going on now is the one where the guy sued Apple and actually won, I think, $8 million. So if you only win 9% of the time, but you win $8 million, that's what keeps them going, right? So this guy has now decided to go after individual podcasters. And we're not going to go into all the details, but here's the bottom line. Okay? Patent trolls are bad. Let's just bottom line it. Patent trolls are bad. And two representatives of Congress, basically Representative Peter DeFazio, and who's a Democrat from Oregon, and Representative Jason, I'm going to call it Chaffetz, Chaffetz, who's a Republican from Utah, they just introduced this legislation. And the idea is to make life harder for patent trolls. And the bill is called the Shield Act. And it would require patent trolls who just willy-nilly, you can just sue anybody. You know, if you lose, oh, sorry, didn't mean to make you spend, you know, thousands of dollars. I once worked for a company and we got sued by somebody. We, quote, won our lawsuit, but it cost us $250,000. Okay? So what would this require is that patent trolls, in the event they lose, and again, they lose roughly 91% of the time. If they lose, they would have to pay the people that they sued. They would have to pay their fees. And we basically, the patent troll business has got to go out of business. And in this case, the company is called Personal Audio that is suing the high-ranked podcasters at this point. We didn't make it so that it's less attractive, so that there is a penalty for frivolous lawsuits. I think they should put this for everybody. Look, if you want to take somebody to court, fine. If you lose, you got to pay their bill. I think that would drastically reduce all lawsuits. So here's what, and I said back then, really, there wasn't much for us to do. So let's jump off that bridge when we get to it. Well, it's time to jump off the bridge. And here's what you can do. Go to EFF.org/shield. And what that does is it gets you in contact with your representative, and it pre-writes an email that all you have to basically do is send, and off it goes. It takes all of about maybe 2 minutes, if that. And if you're a U.S. citizen, I highly, highly, highly beg you to do this. EFF.org/shield. I will put a link to this out in the show notes. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/345. schoolofpodcasting.com/345. And everything we talk about today, you can find links and information at that address. Speaking of serious subjects, here's a clip from episode 5 of the new podcast that I launched with my wife called Healing Our Marriage. Check this out.
So I was so upset that on top of everything else that's been going on, that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, and I went down to the courthouse and filed for divorce.
And that is an unscripted conversation between my wife and I. If you want to eavesdrop on that, you have to listen to the end of the episode to hear how that turns out. It's kind of an interesting twist of fate in my life and my wife's life, and we're kind of documenting it. When I started that podcast, can I just honestly say, I didn't think that was going to be how this podcast went. But it's over at healingourmarriage.com/5 if you want to listen to that episode. All right. Well, on the podcast, I've been spotlighting different what we're calling podcast success stories. And a lot of times people think it's, you know, retiring from your day job. That was a big thing in 2005. Let's all quit our day jobs. And I've always explained there are more ways to benefit than the good old almighty dollar. And I came across Trinity Wilds and David Shear, and they have a unique story on how podcasting can we just say is saving your marriage, guys?
Sure.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, thanks.
And my life in general.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for coming on the show with absolutely zero notice. That's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And using audio equipment in a way we have not yet. So I'm psyched it's actually working.
We learned a little something here.
That's right. We're making it up as we go along. And just I don't want to get too much into your business, but let's just say that, early 2012, your marriage was not going in a positive direction. Is that a fair assessment?
Definitely.
Okay. So, and you were kind of thinking, you know, you actually started thinking, you know, maybe this was a mistake, and it just things were, it was a serious issue. We'll just leave it at that. How's that?
Yeah, it was more I fell off the bandwagon, or as I like to say, you know, they talk about the hamster wheel on the daily grind. That thing just threw me right off, and I broke my leg in the process. So it was in a moment of crisis after building a strong career, and everything kind of came crashing down. And the strong mental health worker I was, I still went crazy.
Well, there you go. And so, yeah, there were just many different pressures coming at you from all different directions. And so, like many people, things, you know, start to crack sometimes under pressure. And so tell us now, you somewhere in the midst of all that stress and anxiety, how did you come up with the idea of a podcast?
Well, I think it was in probably January. We had gotten new iPhones. And I realized that when I was at work, I'm a dog groomer, and I realized one day that I could plug my iPhone into the stereo there and listen to some radio shows. And one radio show that I kind of stumbled upon was the Vicki St. Clair. It's actually Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and it's off of a radio station out of Seattle, Washington. And it's a really an inspirational type of show. And one day she had a guest on there who had lost his job with Microsoft. And I think about a year, maybe a year and a half had gone by, and he was not able to find a new job. And he had some past experience with podcasting and came up with this idea that he would create a podcast show, and he would go back to all of these people that he had turned resumes in to and ask them for interviews to promote their business. And these same people that never gave him any type of reply back were suddenly calling him to set up those interviews and make those connections.
Interesting. And you went, hmm.
And I went, hmm. It was kind of like a light bulb, you know, came on. And it was really a crazy moment. You know, I thought, this might be it. This just might be what David needs to kind of help get himself back on track. And so I waited a couple of days and just kept thinking about it. And the idea just wouldn't go. And so finally, you know, I think it was about 2 days later, he's packing our daughter up for school into the car. And I just stopped him. I said, you know, you're going to think this is crazy. You're not going to want to do this, but why don't you start interviewing local musicians? Because he had recently thought about becoming a professional musician. And so why don't you start interviewing these local musicians and putting it out as a podcast? And, you know, maybe you can make a connection to get in a band that way. And that's kind of where it started. But he wasn't satisfied with just starting with just music. He wanted to cover everything. So,
and I see in your email, you said you actually set a deadline of April 9th. What was the thought behind it will live on this date?
you have to give yourself a deadline sometime in life. And it's one of those things where I was at rock bottom, and knowing my great Taoist philosophy is from the bottom, you can only go up. So it's kind of a good opportunity to do something out of the norm and kind of crazy. So going that far out of our comfort zone and being musicians and kind of perfectionists, we knew that we'd want to put a bunch of time into it, and we could give ourselves 6 months and probably not be any further ahead. So we decided crunch time, we've committed to doing this, let's do it. We gave ourselves 2 weeks to figure out how to, well, I hadn't listened to podcasts yet, so I kind of wanted to figure out what those were.
Yeah, and I didn't really know what a podcast was, even though it was my big idea to do one, but
yeah. So we kind of, you know, divided the labor and the tasks, and, you know, with my music background, I was able to just go in and figure out equipment and had a lot of the stuff laying around. And Trinity had dabbled in web design for a while, so she figured out how to do the website, and I made a contact with a local friend who had played out with in bands, and he owned a record store, and just kind of started there and just decided to go one referral after another and start interviewing people. So I guess the 2 week thing was just, let's make this happen. We've got to give ourselves a deadline or it's not actually going to come to fruition.
And when you guys started, you came out of the gate at an insane,
yeah,
an insane pace. So tell us a little bit about that.
We're insane.
Okay.
Yeah. And
that
helps. We didn't know what we were getting into. So mm-hmm. I think we set our sights a little high. But yeah, we went live with our site on April 9th, that was 2 weeks later, with I think it was 12 interviews.
Yeah, and part of it was, you know, it's the theory of this thing is, you know, money was tight and we needed to make something happen, and I was looking to get into another job, and I really wanted to do something other than just what I had been doing. I was kind of burnt by that career, put a lot of work into it, and wanted to do something more creative. So we knew if this thing was going to happen, we needed to get the ball rolling quick. So we wanted to have good content, we wanted to build it, and I know all things have a learning curve. So the more you do, the faster you get through that learning curve was kind of part of the thought process. So it really was crash and burn and do it quick so we can get somewhere, hopefully in a good time frame.
Yeah. So we started out with doing 3 shows a week, and these were about, I don't know, what were they, 45, 1 hour minute or 1 hour shows, you know? And so we did 3 of those a week and trying to schedule the interviews, get out there, record them, and then have David figure out the whole editing process was crazy. So yeah, we did that for a few weeks, and then I think there were like maybe 2 weeks that we did 2 episodes, and then we finally cut it down and said, you know what, I think we can be okay with 1.
And at this point, our format was entirely different. It was literally just I start off the podcast with the interview. And since mm-hmm. then, we've done where we kind of do an intro to it and talk about what's going on. And we have other features for the show. But in the beginning, it was just the interview. So it's been a really neat learning process.
So what inspired those changes?
You know, I always say necessity is the mother of all invention. It really was. I was down and out, and I don't know that I could have fallen much further. Of course you can, but at a point like that, when all these options are equal, it's a great opportunity to do something incredible. I've always been interested in my hometown. I've always been interested in upstart businesses, the arts, all those types of things, and really wanted to do something exceptional for myself and for my city. And also just looking at it as a mental health worker, what could be better to get me out of the slump than making all these good, positive connections with all these people doing good works and good things in my city? So part of it was self-healing. Part of it was just, we've always been go-getters. We've always had our sights set on big things and done big projects. And I was still dealing with pain from the leg, so I didn't know how much physical work I'd be able to do, and was kind of burnt from the career that had kind of bit me in the tail. So I really wanted to do something amazing and something big, and this was an opportunity to do something. And it's one of those things where I like to do something I haven't done before. So it was such a crazy idea and so far out of my world that it seemed like the perfect thing for me to do.
Yeah, and the changes with the show as far as the format, kind of, it just kind of gradually evolved as we did the interviews and kind of, you know, felt like, okay, yeah, these interviews are great, but it was too dense. It started out, you know, just the interview, and that was a little dense just to listen to, let's say, you know, 45-minute long interview. So we thought, okay, well, we need to add a little bit of something to kind of soften this up a little bit, make it a little bit more relaxed. And so then, you know, we found ourselves wanting to try and get out a little bit more. And mm-hmm. so that's when we added in the out and about section, which was our one featured outing for the week. And so that was really created just to force us to get out and do something. And the goal was really to go out and experience something new that we hadn't done or something that we had taken for granted. And then later we added our worth checking out section, which really features more of like online content or a local organization, you know, so that way we can kind of highlight more of the good things in the area without having to just limit it to the one featured interview.
There you go. And you have a built-in date night now, right?
Yes, basically. We do. Yeah, we do. It kind of forces us. So, you know, sometimes it gets kind of tight by the end of the week when, you know, if we've been busy and we haven't gotten out, but it is kind of nice and it keeps things fresh too. So it encourages us to open our eyes and see what there is in Fort Wayne and kind of get out and check it out. And then, you know, we try to tell everybody else, don't stay at home, get out and live a little bit.
And we're getting offered press passes and things like that now. So, you know, the financial burden's starting to lift now and we're starting to see some of the, you know, rewards from that, I guess. So it's not always such a pinch at the end of the week.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I guess we should probably say that just because there may be people that aren't familiar with Fort Wayne, Indiana. So tell us, for somebody who's never heard of Fort Wayne, Indiana, like what size is it? Is it a big city, small city? What's it kind of, if you had to describe to somebody, you know, Fort Wayne, Indiana, what would you say?
It's a pretty unique demographic. I mean, our county has about 350,000, and I forget exactly what the number is within the city, but it's kind of a small town that was in between major metropolitan areas. So it kind of grew and it's becoming somewhat of a big city, second largest city in Indiana, next to Indianapolis. And it's right in between Chicago and Detroit and some of the big cities in Chicago and just north of Indianapolis. So we're kind of a crossroads where a lot of people come through. So we've made we used to be an industrial city, just manufacturing and things like that. And now we're kind of taking off into the entrepreneurial, the cultural, a lot of arts happening here, fairly strong music scene that seems to always run into a roadblock for some reason. But it's kind of a city reinventing itself. And we had a lot of suburban sprawl, and now the downtown area is really coming together, especially with the entertainment, arts and cultural and sports. And it's really kind of in a rebirth right now. So it's an exciting time to be doing what we're doing, because we're showcasing all these great initiatives that are happening in our city and positioning ourselves right in the middle of all this web of really cool, interconnected, pro-social, pro-community people that are doing incredible things in our city. So it's kind of a small town at heart with Hoosier hospitality and Midwest values that's got the benefits of a larger city, too.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned some press passes. Do you have businesses and anybody else saying, hey, can you help promote, you know, my business to that audience because you have the Fort Wayne audience?
We do, and that's kind of the cool thing with it. We talked in the beginning about what our focus was going to be and really wanted to stick local. And, you know, we've had offers for advertisement on the site, but it's been kind of the bar at the top and anonymous type things. And we've turned them down because we really want to stay local. And it wasn't maybe 5 or 10 interviews into it when people are starting to ask us for interviews. So we've always had people contacting us. We get the, you know, you go out in the community and people recognize you and come up and introduce themselves. And the Twitter chats and the social media has been really good for the communication with people interested in what we're doing. And we get recommendations from our listeners. And it's been a lot of that back and forth. And yeah, we do get a lot of requests to cover events and go to businesses and things like that.
It's more and more every week.
It's picking all of a sudden there's like that critical mass point. And we started hitting different levels of critical mass, but it's all of a sudden you see a bunch more activity, a bunch more requests, and it's really kind of picking up speed quick.
You said something that intrigues me. How are people recognizing you in public? Do you have pictures of yourself on your website as well? And
we do, but it's an interconnected city, and there's a lot of, I don't want to say the movers and shakers, but people doing things in the community get to talking, and they describe us, and some people recognize us from the website. We've been asked to do, we have a local TEDx here, the TED Talks, and we have a local one, and we've been asked, because we're kind of interviewing a bunch of who's who in the area, so we've been asked to choose the speakers for that. So some people have recognized us from that and connected
Twitter,
it with the pod site.
Yeah, and Twitter and Facebook. We put photos up there, and we make the personal connection. We don't just keep it Fort Wayne Speaks. We have our own personal accounts, and we try to connect with people on the personal side, too.
And those have a profile pic, so people see us through that. And I always joke, it's kind of funny for us because we've never wanted fame in any sort whatsoever.
Yeah, we've always been shy people.
Yeah, we like our private lives, but it's comfortable because what we're doing is such a positive thing. And I don't mind it so much. It's more like meeting a friend that you haven't met yet. Or kind of like that person that you chat with online all the time and then you finally see him face to face.
Exactly. And they go, wow, you sounded taller.
Well, one thing that we do especially with our Twitter followers is that when they follow us, we will send a tweet back to them asking what their interests are.
And then
we take that and then we suggest shows to them that they would be interested in. So, you know, when it does come down to actually meeting them face to face, we already have some idea of what they're into.
And that's been a powerful way to connect. I've really been surprised with the quality of conversations we've started with that. And you know, it's one of those things where here in Fort Wayne, we're local based. So those online conversations become physical world conversations.
What other ways are you coming up with show ideas?
I mean, the community will go out to events and people will come up and say, hey, you guys with Fort Wayne Speaks? Yeah, and we'll start chatting and they'll have some ideas. Every time we interview somebody, we ask them for referrals and people that they think that would be good. It's interesting. Here in Fort Wayne, Twitter has a lot more on the business side, a lot more activity. A lot of people say that Fort Wayne is a Twitter city. And we get a lot of the suggestions through that. And then just friends and family bring them to us. And just kind of, we're always talking about it. So we're always getting good ideas wherever we go.
Any advice for somebody who's thinking about starting a podcast?
Yeah, latch on to somebody that's doing it and just do it. Just go with it. It's not really as scary as you think. It doesn't matter if you don't have many listeners in the beginning. If you go back and listen to my first episode, it is horrible.
They were pretty rough for a while.
I didn't know what I was doing. There was insecurities. There was some lack of skill stuff. And I don't mind that a bit. I put it out there for people to go listen to because they can see how far that we've come and being able to do this in our skills. So I would say for people starting out, start listening to your show's great for a lot of the how-tos, and you've taught us a lot, and just keep listening to those episodes. Go through and find the ones that are talking about the subject you want to. Give yourself a deadline. Get your technology underway, which doesn't have to be anything complicated, and just start recording. Maybe record an episode or two, play them back to yourself, play them for a few friends, and kind of get some feedback. And then you just have to take that plunge.
Yeah, I think the deadline is a must. And don't set it out too far, because that's why we only gave ourselves 2 weeks. Because if we had pushed it out, I don't think we would have been any more prepared. No. And there's, you know, I think most likely we would have given up on the whole idea.
Yeah, you run out of that intensity, that sense of urgency of I got to get this done.
But having something out there that's not as good as you want is a different kind of sense of urgency that definitely keeps that motivation going. So it definitely worked in that way.
And obviously, if we started off this story explaining how obviously you've got a broken leg, your relationship was kind of going not in a direction you were happy with. Compare that now to today.
Well, life is never easy, and it's, you know, it's not always rainbows and butterflies. So there's still struggles, but my leg is healed. Through the podcast, I've been able to get in touch with healthcare practitioners that have basically eliminated my pain at this point. So that's a great thing to be thankful for. As far as the marriage goes, we're out having fun. We're doing good things. We don't have to worry about the stress and the conflict that was there.
And we have this big thing that's important to us that we work on together.
It's that whole thing of having a greater purpose, and it's something that we're in together, and we're partners in it. And it's just kind of one of those warm, fuzzy moments where we get to challenge each other, provide for each other, do things that make each other proud of each other. And it's been a cool thing to share and to do together as a team.
There you go. And you can find that at fortwaynespeaks.com. And we might as well throw one of these in while we got you on the phone. You can each take 2.5. We have a feature on the show called The Last 5 and 5. It's not so much what are your favorite 5 podcasts, but if you can remember, what were the last 5 podcasts that you listened to?
Well,
you can cheat and look at your phone if you need to.
School of Podcasting is the last one that I listened to. And before that, it was the Podcast Answer Man.
There you go.
And before that, it would be Vicky St. Clair.
I think we listened to The Art of Podcasting before that.
Okay.
We have a tendency to like pick one and we just stick with it.
We do.
Like we go through them all.
That's 4. We need one more.
The Dog Talk Show.
Okay. What is The Dog Talk Show about?
Dogs.
Talking?
Training, dog health. I'm a dog groomer, so that's groomer, how I got started in the first place, was putting in a search for dogs, and that's what came up, and that was the very first thing.
Oh, actually, we forgot two that should have been in there that we placed out of order. Was one was our friend Augusto, who's starting a podcast, and he's a becoming well-established writer on productivity, and he's launching a podcast in Spanish, which is his native language, and that's kind of cool because it's pretty far outside the box, and you got new and newsworthy in the iTunes store. And then the one before that was Aaron Brown with Impact 52, who is just an awesome guy who got fed up with his corporate job, asking him to do things that didn't feel morally right, launched into volunteerism. One day, looking at himself in the mirror, decided he wanted to do better and decided he was going to do one different volunteer thing each week. And that's the Impact 52. And he's in his second year of it. And now he's looking to expand it and expand his reach because he's had people internationally get inspired by him. So now he's
wow, that is such a great idea for a podcast. See, that's why I love this question. When looking forward, it sounds like you've already got like the next few episodes kind of already planned out. Anything you'd like to see the podcast do in the future?
It's just I can't ask for anything more than what we're doing now. The intensity with which it's growing and the impact that we're having, even if we just maintained that, would be fantastic. We've got the best design team in town, did a pro bono logo for us, thanks to our friends. Well, I don't want to promote them because they're
so
busy.
Which we haven't put out yet. Yeah, it hasn't been gone out yet. So
I guess just keep doing what we're doing and having these amazing things come to us that we would have never expected to have happen. So I guess the next thing we really want to see is like advertising in the real world, and then we'll actually get around to monetizing the site at some point.
Well, Dave Trinity, thank you so much for letting me drive-by interview you, basically.
Kind of exciting.
Trinity sent me the email. I'm like, this is a great story. I gotta get, and you had your phone number there, and then 15 minutes later, we figured out Skype, and here you are. So thank you so much for being up for a fun game of let's do an interview right now, shall we? So I very much appreciate that.
Sure.
Check them out again at fortwaynespeaks.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for all the guidance and the good advice. We appreciate your show and your help.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go. And you can find them again at fortwaynespeaks.com. A couple different things we can learn from this. Number one, as much as podcasting is a global audience, and we'll actually have a note on that here in a second, it is a global audience. You can also go hyper-local and just focus on local things. And again, the people that find that are going to go, oh my gosh, this is about my hometown. And they're going to love it. So that's as much as you can go global, you can also go the opposite. And you'll find your audience very easily. Now, the other thing is they set a deadline. And that's kind of one of the ways, if you just want to make yourself do it, just set a deadline. And then podcasting is kind of a ongoing process. We're always tweaking. My wife and I are looking at buying some new a new mixer and some new stuff, as I'm used to just podcasting solo. And we might actually be buying some more gear for that type of setup. It's always ongoing tweaking. Doesn't have to be, but I think it's just the nature of the podcast. We always want to sound as best, as good, and as awesome as we can. And so they set a deadline, and that really helped them. And they just did everything they could. And when it came time, they just put it out. They didn't, you know, it was what it was at that point. And they were happy with it, and they continue to work on it. And you heard all the great benefits that they're getting. So, yeah, it helped bring them closer. It helped get them, now they have people approaching them to be on their podcast. So check them out again at FortWayneSpeaks.com. Thanks again to Trinity and Dave. It was really great hanging out with you the other night. Next up, little update. I talked, probably a couple weeks ago about Auphonic, AUPHONIC.com. And I said it's kind of cool because it's a web-based version of the Levelator software. The Levelator software, again, both these programs basically take, if you interviewed somebody, let's say, or you had something with wildly changing volume levels, it kind of levels things out. And so this is great. So I actually recorded an episode of my Marketing Musician podcast. You can find that at marketingmusician.com. And I did it live and was mixing in some music. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use Auphonic for this. So I uploaded my WAV file to the website and said, export it as a WAV file, but obviously levelated. And it processed it fairly quickly. And I went to download it. And it says here that it's going to take an hour and 3 minutes to download it. And I'm on a high-speed internet, and so I'm going to assume this is their server. And granted, I am downloading a 155-meg file, but this is the one thing where Levelator, we said the cool thing is with Auphonic, you can do any kind of audio processing, leveling, anywhere you're at, and they take MP3 files. That's the good news. Apparently, the downside of this is it takes, if you do a really long file and you keep everything in a WAV format, it takes forever to download it. Because I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. And I went to download. It's like, okay, it's going to take an hour. And it's one of those where I thought, is this really going to take an hour? And as it downloads, I'm going to say it's going to be pretty close to it. It's pretty slow. So that would be a update on Auphonic. Like it. Love the fact that I don't have to go through and you know, switch things to a WAV file. If I want, if I had an MP3 file, I could do that. But the bad news is when it's done, you have to then download it back to your computer. With a Levelator, it's already got your file on your website. So there's the pros and cons of that. Just plan ahead. If you're like, yeah, and as soon as it's levelated, I'll go in and I'll edit it and I'll keep going. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. At least in my case, I uploaded a, like I said, a 30-minute file, and it's taken just forever to get back to my computer so I can finish up that podcast. Next up, I have a number of resources for podcasters. You can find those over at schoolofpodcasting.com/links. And I thought I would share with a couple that I think I'm going to add in terms of getting exposure and creating great content. We talked about creating why content last week, and they're both very similar. One is called radioguestlist.com. And this is a website you can go to. This one, of the two I'm going to give you here, is not my favorite, but still I've actually been on a couple radio stations from people that have said, we're looking for people that blank. And I looked at that and went, oh, that's me. And I contacted them. I said, here I am. Here's my website. Here's my podcast. And they're like, oh, great. We want to have you on the show. So I've actually been interviewed on the radio using radioguestlist.com. Now I've also been interviewed on other people's podcasts. And if you want to interview me on your podcast, just send an email, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. I love to talk podcasting. I love to talk anything. I love to talk, obviously. And so that's one. Now, they do say when you submit to Radio Guest List to please break details of your guest request into bullet points so they can easily publish your listing. All questions must be answered so we can publish a good guest request for you. So they have a form here, and they want to know What kind of guests or experts do you want to interview? What kind of audience demographics for your show? Audience size for your show? And then is it a broadcast radio show, satellite, cable, video, internet radio show? That would be a reported podcast. All those. And then your broadcast schedule, the format and network, if applicable. Booking contact for interview. That would probably be you. And your email address, your show website. And then if it's a traditional radio TV broadcast, what city state does your show reach? And then it goes into categories. So again, this makes it easy. You want people to say, oh, this is what I'm getting involved with. Because why waste your time? If you don't give good information there, you're going to get guests that don't really apply to you. So it says, if your request looks legit, your submission will be posted on radioguestlist.com in approximately 1 to 2 weeks after you receive confirmation that you've been added to our show's host email list. And it's going to remain on the site for 30 to 60 days before being deleted to make room for new guest requests. And your call for guests will also be emailed to our mailing list of experts to help find you the guest experts you need. And it actually looks free. It says you can post up to once per month. If your requests are specific to a certain topic or type of guest you are seeking, don't just repost the topic of your show overall, but ask for specific experts or guests that address a story or angle that you are covering. So that is one that you can use to find guests for your show, or obviously you can use that to see if you can be the guest for the show. Now, the other one is also free. It's helpareporter.com. And this one goes out multiple times a day. I think they have an afternoon and a morning session that'll say, here's what we're looking for. And I actually was quoted in San Diego newspaper once. And, the guy called me on the phone, asked me a couple questions, and that was for my Logical Weight Loss podcast. Now, did that send me a huge amount of traffic? No, but it was cool to say, hey, today I was in the San Diego Bee, I think it was. And it didn't cost me a dime, and it was free exposure. So, again, those are at radioguestlist.com. and helpareporter.com. And you can find links to all those again by going to our website. Just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/345. And that is going to do it for this episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Please don't forget to go out to EFF.org/shield. That's SHIELD. And if you live in the U.S., contact your local representative. We want to thank Dave and Trinity from FortWayneSpeaks.com. And we found some cool ways to get guests and be guests. And if you're looking to start a podcast, look, set a deadline, just like Trinity and Dave did, and get going. And I can help you get started. They took a couple weeks. You can sign up for the School of Podcasting, watch all the videos in a matter of days, and be up and going. I've got resources there for great web designers. So if you're looking for artwork for your podcast, if you're looking for insights into WordPress themes, you've got little old me along the way. All you have to do is email me. Sometimes I get on Skype with people. Sometimes we just exchange emails, whatever it takes, whatever is going to get you going in the right direction in less than no time. And so I want to let you know, I do have, since you made it all the way to the end of the podcast here, I do have a coupon code. It's, the word is listener, LISTENER, listener. That is a coupon code that you can use to save when you sign up at the School of Podcasting. It's my way of saying thank you for being a listener, and I look forward to working with you. If you'd like to email me again, my email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments, 888-563-3228. Or you can leave a comment out at the blog or click on the voicemail button there. So if you're on something like an iPad or an iPhone, things like that, you can actually click that button now. It's actually really, really cool. If you don't have a website yet and you want to start a podcast, please email me with the phrase quick start in the subject line. And I'll explain more when I get your email what that means. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with an episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Thank you for tuning in. Let me remind you that it's time to start living a life worth podcasting about, and I will see you on the inside. Don't be tardy. And God bless.